To my right is Bounty Law Series lead and Jake Cahill himself, Rick Dalton. And to my left is Rick Stutt Double Cliff Booth.
So, Rick, explain to the audience exactly what it is a stunt double does.
Actors are required to do a lot of dangerous stuff. Cliff here is meant to help carry the load.
Is that how you describe your job, Cliff?
What, carrying his load?
Yeah, it's about right.
My hands are registered as lethal weapons. We get into a fight, I accidentally kill you. I go to jail.
Anybody accidentally kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter.
That was the best acting I've ever seen in my whole life.
Thank you.
Rip fucking load.
Hello and Merry Christmas, guys. This is a bonus episode. Was originally for a different month, but now it's a bonus for Christmas, guys. My name is Oscar, and with me today is...
Ralph.
As always. And today's bonus is going to be Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So let's get started right away. Set in Los Angeles, 1969, over the hill at TV actor Rick Dalton and his best friend and stunt double, Cliff Booth, strive to reignite their careers as their failure is juxtaposed with the success of Rick's new next-door neighbors, Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski. Rick and Cliff become unwittingly entangled with the infamous Manson family in the process. This is the latest Quentin Tarantino movie, as we said, written and directed by him, only by him, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, I almost said Robbie again, Emile Hirsch, Margaret Qualley, Timothy Oliphant, Julia Butters, definitely awesome, Austin Butler, Dakota Fanning, Bruce Dern is in this movie, Luke Perry is one of his last, maybe his last... role before he untimely death there. Damian Lewis, Al Pacino.
Hua.
A lot of people are in this movie, guys. Some Italians in there too. Some great stuff here. So I'm going to start this one off real quick and say that I highly anticipate every single Tarantino movie, there are definitely like a little bit of a, there's a tier. There's a tier of Tarantino movies. That's how I feel anyway. This is his, what, ninth movie? Although technically 10th, if you count, I don't know, one of them, he doesn't count, Grindhouse, I think. And as far as tiers go, like his most excellent for me is, you know, Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown are like his real, like creme de la creme for me. Inglourious Basterds, maybe even Kill Bill Volume 1. Those are like my favorites. I return to them all the time. They're extremely satisfying for me. And his like lower tiers will be the Grindhouse probably, you know, or like, what's that other one? The Hateful Eight, which is his last one. I'm not saying I didn't love it. I just didn't love it as much as those. So I think this one fits kind of on top of the list. Now that we have some months, right, in between, we're recording this a little later, obviously, than we should have originally. But since I pushed everything back for December, we're like, fuck it, we just record it later. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood grows even better in estimation. It's also, you know, and this could go with the age of me too. Like the age of Tarantino, he's like... It's like he's growing out of a little bit out of the action heaviness of the violence, not the action, the violence that he likes to depict, that he's known for depicting so well and so like explosively or even fun like in a comedy way. Like I think he's kind of wising up a bit more. Or at least he definitely took a patient step back with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and it looks much more restrained, but in a positive way. And I think it worked out a lot better than his usual affair. What do you think?
Yeah, I think just to piggyback on that little thought of yours is that I think that he's coming to the realization that he doesn't need action or heavy murder or whatever the hell is going to happen scene to necessarily punctuate his points, to, you know, whatever the hell he wants to bring across to the for us. You know, not that it's not fun, and he's obviously had fun doing it. I think is that, you know, he's a dialogue heavy director and writer. Mm-hmm. You can just focus on your actors doing that and doing that good job and just delivering a good story overall, and, you know, don't have to just focus or let your action overshadow everything else, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. Not that it's not that I'm not
arguing. I think he's treating the action as an aftermath to that point he's making.
Right.
Instead of making the point with the action.
Exactly.
The point is made. We know who won that interaction. Now here's the violence.
Yes.
Right. Like kind of like maybe like that. As a bonus, or as like this is the next step. Like, well, now he's made his point. Now they gotta die or whatever. Or now this has to happen. He's gotta get beat up or whatever. Or the car crashes now, you know, after the point's made.
Yeah, when you think about it, I think Jackie Brown and Pulp Fiction are probably two of his movies who have the least amount of action.
Oh, yeah. Jackie Brown is definitely more like, it's like, not whodunit. I'm not trying to think of the word. It's more stealthy and sneaky. It's about like, it's about crime.
Yeah.
But it isn't about, it's about criminals or something. It's about like, it's a heist movie, essentially. What's the word I was thinking? It's more heisty and like planning out and stuff like that and achieving a gig, a job.
Right.
Right. Doing pulling a job off. Yeah. And I mean, Jackie Brown might be my number one. Honestly, that's such a good movie, and also his first and only adaptation, which is funny.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time also has you know what I like about this Leonardo DiCaprio performance, who is a big actor. I like him, and as far as Hollywood actors go, he's like one of my favorites. He's done some. I mean, I just love his picks. You know, I love what he does. And this one is no different. But I like it when heavyweights like Tarantino and Scorsese use DiCaprio as characters that are to be made fun of.
Yes.
You notice that with The Wolf of Wall Street makes fun of him a lot. I mean, it shows that he can pull off that kind of role because he's such a leading serious man in a lot of his movies, DiCaprio, that when he has turned to Scorsese and or Tarantino, he's like, they show all sides.
Yeah.
You know, whatever success.
Almost humbling him.
Oh, yeah, definitely humbling him and also showing like all the angles to a person that had, like, with insecurities and all that. Like, Rick Dalton, it's funny watching him sometimes, and he does suffer. He has that actor's plight, right, that everyone makes fun of with actors, and he has that, you know, in the movie, when he's talking to himself and shit. Oh, when he's crying to Cliff Booth, right, when they're in a car by themselves. It's just funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's obsessed to watch his own show after it's made and watching FBI every night. You know, like, it's just really interesting. It also shows that it's, Brad Pitt's potential too. He's really good in this movie.
Yeah.
He's almost unrecognizably good, in my opinion, over his last few films, even including Inglourious Basterds, who I didn't so much love his character there in Inglourious. And for me, his last really good role was probably Fight Club, which is, I don't know, 1999, like 20 years ago. But
that was a while ago.
That was, yeah, and that's how long ago I really liked him until this movie. And I felt like he has like this stoic like mania in him, like he's constantly brewing, even though he looks still and cool cat and smoking cigarettes and shit. Like he's a capable man in this movie, like a stuntman. But like, bro, like I think he really pulls it off, in my opinion. And I think it goes a long way to making me believe this movie better when it gets to the ending. I don't know, what do you think about that?
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I think what they do good, what Brad Pitt's character in the movie does good for Brad Pitt as the actor, is that they use his strengths, and they use them, but they don't abuse them. If you know
maybe
what I'm
saying.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Because he's a pretty boy, don't get me wrong. He's very charming.
Yeah.
Or he can be. At the same time, he can be a very heavy actor, and the fact that he can be a very serious, play a very serious role in that aspect of a very thoughtful actor, should I say.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, they play a lot to his strengths, but at the same time, they don't really abuse any of it. This is what I was saying, which is like they don't abuse the fact that he's pretty and he's this and he's that, and you know, they just use that like seemingly Celeste, you know, seemingly.
Yeah.
And it's you're playing an act, you're playing a character, and the character he's playing is this not less than, but this person who is comfortable where he is in life, right?
Yeah.
And he just wants this to continue writing, maybe get a little bit more out of life, right? And money wise, or just a little bit more comfort in the end. But he feels like he has that by living with Rick Dalton, or living in his house when he takes care of it, or doing stuff.
You say that,
but you know, things like that to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like he's a guy who is like, I think he's always played a confident roles. I don't really see Brad Pitt playing unconfident roles, but at least not lately.
Yeah, I mean, this and Ad Astra. I mean, we've seen Ad Astra since. Obviously, we saw Once About Time first, but
yeah.
I mean, pretty good.
Yeah.
But definitely confident.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you think about like 7 years in Tibet, right? That's him. that was a long time.
I barely remember that movie.
Right, what I'm saying is just how long ago it was, right? It was one of his way earlier movies.
Yeah.
And it's a complete opposite. He's not a confident man at all. He's not this, he's not that. Same thing with Meet Joe Black or whatever, which I think is his big debut. If I remember correctly.
His debut was True Romance.
No, his big debut. His big role.
What made him big?
Starring role.
I don't know. I think it happened before that. I think Thelma and Louise was before that, and he got his big thing there.
He's a starring role.
Interview with the Vampire came out before that, I believe.
I guess it would be, yeah.
Legend of the Fall also, I think. Was that him?
Was that? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Remains of the Day? There's some words
something
like that.
Something around there? Besides the point.
But maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Yeah.
That's the first movie where I see him very serious anyway.
Yeah.
And not just this handsome guy.
Right. That's true.
So, yeah. I think Quentin uses him very well. This is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And it's funny because they're both big actors. Mm-hmm. And no one overshadows anybody here.
Yeah.
But it's meant that Rick Dalton is supposed to overshadow. But the fact that we get way more screen time with what the hell is his actor's name? Or the character's name in the movie?
Rick Dalton? Cliff Booth?
Cliff Booth.
Cliff Booth's the stuntman. Yeah.
Yeah. With Cliff, that I feel like you get more time with Cliff than you do with Rick.
Yeah,
which,
I would say so.
Yeah, I think we would both agree. Because a lot of the stuff that Cliff does is kind of what leads the movie, progresses the movie.
Yes.
There was stuff with Rick. Rick just happens to like be in the vicinity, but he plays an integral role at the same time.
It's like, you know, it's funny. It's like Rick Dalton. His job is to look like he knows his shit and he's cool at this stuff.
Yeah,
and that he's more successful, but Cliff Booth lives that life.
Yes.
But it's not as well known.
Right.
You know, no one knows that. You know what I mean? You have to actually know him. And because he has actually, I mean, he fucking fights Bruce Lee.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, they kind of egg each other on, and it's like an Americanism thing, but like, he fucking had him. You know, it's such a cool scene, but it shows so much for the advancement of later on. But like, and the way he like climbs on that roof, you know, his like savviness, like he just has the beer there. He knows he's not afraid of the heights. He's so confident, like he is Rick Dalton's characters, but not Rick Dalton.
Right. Well, he's the one who does everything that Rick Dalton doesn't do.
Right. Right.
As a stuntman.
Right.
Right. So that's
a everyman. He's a handyman. He has his own car separately. He drives Rick Dalton's car, goes back to his car to drive home.
Yeah.
Right. That's funny. Yeah. I mean, so what was your favorite? Like, what did you anticipate for this movie? I mean, or any Tarantino movie, maybe. But what did you think going into this movie? What did you want to see, or what did you think you were going to see? And did it
meet those expectations? To be honest with you, I don't know what I was going to see. I didn't really. I'm very good at just like media blackout stuff.
Me too.
So I don't really. I couldn't tell you what the movie was going to be about. I didn't even know it was going to be anything with Manson or Sharon Tate. I knew she was in it, and I knew it was going to revolve around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess until somebody mentioned that she, oh yeah, Sharon Tate gets murdered or whatever, and I was like, oh yeah, she does.
Yeah,
I even forgot about that, like, because I just don't care. Like, I don't live in that life where I knew she died, but I forgot that she was a Manson murderer, right?
Yes, she was.
Stuff like that. So, and that's a big role. That's a big thing in the movie. Which is cool, because once I thought about that, I was like, now I was actually interested. I guess that's when it started. Because walking into the movie originally, when I was going to go, I thought nothing of, I know it's a Tarantino movie, I know it's going to be dialogue heavy, and I know it's going to be heavily story driven. That's it. That's all it is. And that's what I was. That's what I wanted to see from a movie, right?
So you got what you expected.
I got what I expected, right. But I guess what ended up getting in like in my way, or what it was, the narrative that was going to be written was, it has to do with the Manson, something with the Mansons,
right,
and how it's going to get there. So I guess I was looking over all the movie, how it was going to incorporate that. And I don't know if I...
How did you feel about that?
That's what I was going to do the follow-up on. I don't know how I felt about that. I want to say that I overall didn't mind it. It worked.
Yeah.
I felt like, I guess the trailer did disservice because they showed Charles Manson.
Yeah, they did.
Way more. And don't get me wrong, they only showed him like two times, which is the only two times you see him in the...
Yeah, in the very beginning for like a brief second, and then later on he actually says something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that be like... with the fact that you get like next to nothing of him,
yeah,
and the like when I first just like first impressions when I first came out, I was like, well, that was kind of unsatisfying, mm-hmm. right? But at the same time, I was like, it was never about that,
no,
right? And that was thinking back on it, like now specifically, it's like it was never about that, so it doesn't really. I didn't care,
yeah.
I cared more that I guess where they were, what timeline was going to change or what was going to happen. What was the big thing this was leading up to, right?
Yeah.
And the big thing it was leading up to is that I guess it's mainly about the movie. So overall, the Manson thing.
Oh, you don't spoil it yet.
No. Okay. That was called the main thing what I liked about the movie, about the Manson part, I'm sorry, was it overall worked out because it was like background, but background enough to lead us to where the movie wanted us to lead us to, right?
That's a good way to put it.
It was because you're trying to focus on both characters here, which is Rick Dalton and
Cliff.
What's his last name?
Booth.
That's actually how he would say his name.
Yes.
And you're trying to get like they're. It's funny because like while one's doing one thing, the other one's doing something, but they're all influencing each other, you know. So it was well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Okay. I agree. Like, but I came into this the opposite. I knew, I know so much about the Manson family before this movie even released. On the SOS show, another show I'm a part of, we did a 3-part Manson episode, 2 hours apiece, like 6 hours talking about Manson.
Oh, wow.
And I read some stuff about it. I knew some stuff from before that. And I listened to other podcasts before and an audiobook once about, you know, I know a lot about the fucking Mansons. And too much, in fact. In the end, I kind of go down to similar to how this movie treats them. And that's how I feel about them, I mean. But I knew exactly, like, I know how much was pregnant, who was in that room, how many people died. I know all about the Sharon Tate thing, right? So, like, when I first saw this trailer, and I saw that they focus on Sharon Tate before I even saw Manson for person in the trailer, because they were everywhere at some point. I had to see one of them. I was like, oh, shit, is this about that, right? I'm like, why? I'm like, that's so strange. Why this era? I'm like, oh, I see, because the Manson stuff, you know, was depicted as the end of a big era, the love era, the age of the 60s. It marks the like a bloody point to the end of the 60s, you know, and everyone was so bummed out about all that. So, like, oh, okay, it makes sense. Tarantino would probably enjoy that. And then seeing it, how it turned out, how less than I thought it was going to be, I was like, it's actually pretty perfect because it tells you so much more that I want to definitely talk about in spoilers, which you probably should get into now. But I overall enjoyed it as well. And it's like I didn't care, but like it was more like it was a B plot or a C even. So like it's really not the focus.
Right.
And you know from the first 40 minutes that it's going to be that way because the movie doesn't like – have them as the protagonist, the family. So I would say let's get into spoilers for Once Upon a Time, starting right now. I mean, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Jesus, starting right now.
I'm Rick Dalton. It's my pleasure, Mr. Schwartz.
Call me Marvin. Put it down. That's your son?
No, it's my stunt double, Cliff Booth.
Last night, we watched a Rick Dalton double feature. All the shooting. I love that stuff, you know, the killing.
A lot of killing.
Anybody order fried sauerkraut? Crown, you Nazi bastards!
Seems this world got you down. You're feeling bad, bad, racial.
Are you an actor?
No, I'm a stuntman.
Look at me.
So you're still with Rick, huh? Still here.
You could do anything you want to him.
We're going to have a plane.
I hired you to be an actor, Rick, not a TV cowboy. You're better than that.
Line?
Cut! Embarrass yourself like that in front of all those goddamn people!
So another thing is that I liked how they touched on Sharon Tate. They did give her a couple scenes, focus scenes.
Yeah.
Specifically, of her going to movie theater, seeing herself on there, I thought that was really nice. It speaks to the overall agenda that Tarantino has with this movie, and it isn't Manson, or even isn't Rick Dalton. It's his love of this Hollywood era.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the main point.
That's what the movie's about.
That's what he's interested in. That's what he wishes he was this age in the '60s making movies. Like, it is a love era for a time that's long gone, and probably not coming back that way, ever. You know. Because everything worked out differently back then. It's so much different than it is today. Movies are not made the same way. The actors are not casted the same way. The fame doesn't work the same way. Everything is completely different. And you read books or you watch the golden age of cinema, as they call it, those old days before they started making real indies, before like directors went out and did other things, and before like video cassettes took over and it became a home project. Like, everything changed the game so much later. That it feels like just a gigantic love letter. And he uses Sharon Tate, specifically in that theater scene, or even with that girl, that the little girl that Rick Dalton talks to, right, in that Western he's making.
She's the future.
Yeah, yeah. Right. She is the future. Yeah. All this stuff, it says Tarantino's love letter for the 60s and cinema in this golden age.
Well, I think it was the fact that it's how, I guess how there was loosely structure, how things got done, how things were promoted, how it's everything. It is everything overall. Yeah. How Hollywood functioned.
Yeah.
And how what a movie meant for people also.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, because everyone watches everything. Everyone watches the same things.
That's true. Yeah.
If somebody doesn't watch something, it's because it was that bad. Yeah. And it's blatantly obvious.
That's right. But I think you could consume all content a lot easier.
You could consume a call. Yeah, very much so.
Like now.
It's not like now. Now it's like if something comes out, you're like, I fucking have no clue what the hell you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You're like, what are you talking about? How's all these big name actors, millions of dollars thrown in there? And you're like, yeah, I'm watching.
Still never heard of it.
I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé.
Right.
And you're like, what
that is, but okay.
Yeah, it's a show.
Sure.
Anyways, so like, there's little, you're right, I'm watching somebody play video games on Twitch. The fuck is that?
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
Like, what the fuck is that?
And some of these guys are more powerful than a lot of actors that are big.
You just said,
right?
Random words to me.
Yeah.
Like, no, I didn't. Right. It's like, it's just,
random words to me.
Right. So, so it is a difference. It is a thing about the movie. It is cool because, especially that scene when she goes to the movie theater to watch her own thing, it is, and just the fact that, like, they geek out, right, the movie the owners, about like, oh wow, you're gonna watch your movie, and yeah, like you're the next person in line to take us, to move us forward about movies, you know we're all looking forward to, you're gonna be a bridge for us,
right.
of what we have current and what we're gonna expect to have with you.
Yeah,
and that's cool. And Rosemary's Baby is a big thing also in the movie, the fact that it's this
hot new director.
They're talking, well, hot new director. They're talking about how it's the best horror movie ever made.
Right.
You know, and it's how it progresses a bunch of random things and stuff like that. It is cool. It is a cool thing to see. It's like it would have been cool to see how movies or how Hollywood would have been influenced otherwise without her death. Or without something, because it's like a heavy prospect.
Definitely.
It would be like before what's who's the actress who did Hunger Games?
Jennifer Lawrence?
Jennifer Lawrence. It would be like a similar thing of Jennifer Lawrence making her like big movie, and before she could get to Hunger Games, before she could get to anything like that. And it'd be like, oh, yes, we're totally looking forward to watching her things. And boom. And you're like, whoa, what the f-? You know? Something similar to that aspect.
Definitely. I can see that. Jennifer Lawrence is a good example. She's one of the... A big starlet for sure. Yeah. I mean, still though, back then, a starlet meant a lot bigger.
A lot, yeah.
Like, different. Oh, it just meant different. Not the same, exactly. So there's a few times. Did you know that the ending was going to happen that way about the Manson, like the change of history?
No.
Okay. I didn't immediately think of it. I should have, based on Inglourious Basterds. I should have known.
Yeah.
We all should have known.
Right. Well, he likes to change the... history in general.
Yeah, no, in general, he did it with the slave, the way there was slaves, the plantation owner thing in Django Unchained.
Yeah,
he did that too. But those are his only three like period pieces that are specific to an era.
Yeah.
In American history, anyway, and I should have seen it coming. But the first time I got a whiff of that is when Cliff Booth goes to the ranch to see the old timer there, who's apparently like Manson family has taken over.
Yeah.
Right, and they take care of him by fucking him and keeping him at home.
Right.
Which is all true. By the way, the details that this movie gets right about how it all worked out and what was even in the room of certain things was exactly right.
Really?
Based on what I already knew about
that. That's
funny. So I just want to say that.
That must have been really
cool. Like, apparently, that. There's one scene. Sorry, sidetrack here. But there's one scene where Sharon Tate is playing something at the house, at her new house, I guess, and playing a record on. I think it was, I don't remember the name of the song, probably the song. And this is when Cliff Booth is on the roof, and they kind of notice, or she notices him, or he notices her, or something like that. It was one of that scenes. Apparently, the stuff in that room is very similar to exactly what the stuff, like that record was on that tape player when she got murdered.
Oh, wow.
Like, they got that right, I'm saying. That's how detailed it was, apparently, I heard. And from what I read. So anyway, back to the thing, is that when he goes into the ranch... my first thought was like, okay, first of all, this is when they kill the stuntman. There is a stuntman that gets killed by the Mansons before they do the
show. Oh, is there? I didn't know that.
Yes. And it wasn't the same name, though. But I thought that was just changed for maybe different reasons. Oh, I don't know. Maybe the movie could be anything. So, like, at first I was like, are they going to do this? But he's so confident and he's such a swagger. I think he owns everyone. Brad Pitt's character, Booth. He goes in the house, gets out, and he fights that guy before Tex comes over with the horse and the gun and all that, right? And he fights him. And the way the slow motion fight him and the movie makes hardcore fun, not just the Manson family, but specifically this guy that Cliff is beating the shit out, makes him, change the tire for him?
Yeah.
Right? Under threat of violence. Like, that was funny and also puts down the Manson family in such a hard way. That was when I first got a whiff. I'm like, oh, they're going to change something.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure yet. And I only became sure... Later on that night, the night of the Sharon Tate murders, when Rick Dalton came out drunk, telling him to get the fuck out in their car.
Yeah.
That was the scene.
And they get all frazzled.
Yeah. They get all frazzled. They get all like butthurt about themselves and shit. And they switch it to their house. Then little do they know, he has a flamethrower and a badass stuntman and a dog too that they'll all kill, you know, they all kill one of them.
Yeah.
So that was great. And that ending is so explosively funny. It does the same thing what Tarantino did to the Third Reich, like showing the futility and the stupid, you know, like showing the righteousness of those kills.
Yeah.
But this one not only shows that righteousness of these idiots, the Manson family, being killed for being murderous and stupid and all that, but it shows them in a way that we can make fun of them for it. Like how stupid and ridiculous their ideals always were. They never should have been taken that seriously. Here's them being taken down a few pegs because that's where they should belong. It's like Tarantino's telling you they're not a big shit. They're not big shits.
Yeah.
You know, they were just seen to, because they succeeded killing a house full of people.
Right.
You know, like, that was cool. It undercuts everything. And my first thought was like, what was the point of that other than this part? Because the Manson line wasn't the focus of this movie.
No.
Right? I'm like, well, the point was that Ray Dalton gets an in with the hottest new director.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Right.
And that's where his has-been days.
Well, not only that, gets it in with the hottest actress too.
The hottest actress.
Not hottest as in like good looking, but the hottest as in like the most wanted or the next in line wanted actress would be.
But also because she's hot.
But also because she's hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the real Sharon Tate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so that it worked out for their story, for their journey, essentially. And
right, everything paid off for him. Him going to Italy, him doing his spaghetti westerns over there, or western movies in general, Italian westerns.
Yeah,
coming back.
It's a very Burt Reynolds thing, apparently.
Well,
follows Burt Reynolds' career. Apparently,
well, I do remember hearing about that. He loses the role to Steve McQueen, right? Which Burt Reynolds lost the role to Steve McQueen right? To which is in The Great Escape, is it? Or the
yes, I don't remember.
Forget the movie.
Yeah.
But whatever big movie that he was supposed to have, he doesn't get because he gets drunk or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's almost a has-been, right?
Yeah.
and he does go back and he makes a career for himself, yeah. right? And the same thing, Burt Reynolds, it's almost very, very similar.
Apparently the same kind of thing where he marries an Italian someone, I think that happens too.
Yeah, I think it does too. There's a lot of similarities. Yeah, exactly. It is almost like mimicking Burt Reynolds'
yeah. career. Except that Tarantino uses the folly of the Mansons to upstart his career later in life
yes,
for Rick Dalton.
Very much so, yes.
And I like how the movie presets a lot of Cliff Booth's actions because not only his ability to be very useful and resourceful in the moment, because uh-huh. that's what he was already as a stuntman and a mechanic and all and a driver, he is also kind of stone cold because of the movie kind of intimates, not really 100% tells you that he killed his wife, right?
Yeah.
Right. And right. and everyone in Hollywood hates him for that. As a matter of fact, that's why he's kind of washed out. No one trusts him.
Yeah. But almost blacklisted.
Kind of blacklisted. Like
if it wasn't for Rick Dalton. Yeah. For Dalton, yeah, he wouldn't have a job.
He wouldn't have anything, right. And even him, even Rick Dalton has to do a lot to get him on the set.
Right, and he doesn't want to.
And he beats up still Bruce Lee and he gets him kicked out anyway, so right. that was funny. But also, the beating up Bruce Lee and all this other stuff and fighting the Manson family earlier in the ranch, like, shows that he is gonna fucking kill these kids as soon as they walk into that house.
Yeah.
You know, and it shows the when he beats like oh my, it's just insane, the squib and the blood work and the
yeah.
and the fucking the phone constantly hitting oh Jesus and the flamethrower of course that was badass. Also, the scene with Al Pacino showing that Nazi killing that's such a good comparison.
Yeah, very much,
it's so good. It's just so satisfying for me that the movie really worked out,
yeah.
and it was such a fun ending too. Where it could have just been satisfyingly serious or normal. Like, no, man, just throw the Manson family and just cook up some history in there and just fuck it up.
Right.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I like how unimportant it was that his wife goes goes to sleep, right, I think? Goes back to sleep. Or what's it called? Booth goes to the hospital, right? Because he's the one who got hurt the most. Yeah. And he ends up just talking. He's like, dude, this is some crazy shit to the neighbors, which is Sharon Tate's whatever people.
It was,
And he's like, yeah, Sharon wants to come on and invite you, right? Because he gets the invite. He's like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, he's like, he does business as usual, I guess. Like, if he just,
I guess
let
so.
Me just go, you know?
Right.
He sees an opportunity. He clearly sees an opportunity.
Yes, he does. Because he was mentioning he wants that opportunity. He lives slightly higher than him in this super expensive area.
Right.
So he took that old house.
Yeah. He was about to sell the house.
Roman
right?
Polanski. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And like that's so that's too perfect. So it worked out really well. This movie is awesome.
Yeah, no, and, I agree. It did work out well. Yeah. The one thing I will say about the Bruce Lee thing, I wanted to bring up is that I felt like they undercut the fact that Bruce Lee is a badass, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's.
I think that's also a bias, an opinion in this movie.
Yeah, it's a mixed opinion, but he's a guy who's there to train people to look good on camera.
Yeah.
Right, that's what his job is. That's what mm-hmm. he had a job for the actors.
Yeah.
And he's just, he wouldn't want to hurt himself, right? But it is funny that one thing that he does, like, if I hurt somebody and I kill somebody or whatever, it's considered like a weapons.
I would get arrested, right? Anyone would. It's called manslaughter.
Right.
Yeah. I think he just loved putting him down because he was full of shit. He was full of his own shit. Like, his shit didn't stink, kind of feel.
Right.
And, like, so he just wanted to put him
down.
No, out.
I agree.
You know, which is to say that Bruce Lee obviously could handle himself, just couldn't handle himself against Cliff. Or that well, anyway.
Yeah.
Because it was evenly matched for a little bit there. So, very cool. Very cool. So, I think that's it, right?
I think so.
All right. So, we hope you enjoyed this bonus. Again, Merry Christmas, guys. That is it for our review. Check out our website, otherpodcast.com, for everything else. No real exit here. Until then, I'm Oscar.
Yes, he is.
Nice. Later. Merry
Christmas. Mr. Daniel? I'm finished.